I want to continue the study that we started last week on COVID vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines. Just a reminder, anytime I use that word vaccines, it's in quotes. I realize it's not a vaccine, which I'll talk about, but I'm just using that for ease of terms here. This Sunday, I do want to talk about some facts that we should consider about the COVID-19 vaccines, and then I also want to talk about whether or not it is or could be the mark of the beast. Last week's sermon actually was removed from YouTube. That's the first time that's ever happened to me in 800 and some videos, and I've said a few things on there that probably made some people mad and were definitely politically incorrect, but for some reason that one really got to them. They said that I violated their community standards and was spreading medical misinformation, and I was contradicting the local and WHO authorities on COVID-19. In my appeal, I asked them if they could explain to me, quote to me exactly what I said that did this, and of course they didn't. So that was removed, and so this week what I'm going to try is I'm going to post this sermon, but under a different name. I'm going to call it, Lord willing, Is the Mark of the Beast Here? Part 2. Not even going to mention anything about COVID or vaccines in the description or the title or anything. And I'm going to see how smart the Google AI bots are and see if they can figure it out or not. And if I get a strike, well, then we'll just go from there. But anyway, that's what I'm going to do, and there will be a link taken back to the website there at pastorwagner.com/COVID, where it'll be available there if it does get removed from YouTube. Okay, so anyway, before I get to what I just mentioned that we're going to talk about, I do want to cover one thing that I failed to think of and failed to mention in the previous sermon when I was talking about how we have the right as Christians to refuse the COVID-19 vaccine. And I talked about how our bodies belong to God and He's given us stewardship over them. And every one of us is responsible for his body or her body and what's done to it. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it is individually, every single one of us. Governments don't have the right to force vaccines upon us, and neither do our spouses. Our husbands, our wives do not have the right to force vaccines upon us. Husbands must not force their wives to get an unwanted injection into their bodies. Now, I realize and recognize that the husband is the head of the wife. I've preached this many times. I live this. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And the wife is supposed to submit to her husband in everything. But that's obviously, as I've taught you before, a qualified everything. A husband is not the wife's God that can demand of her absolute obedience that she receive an unwanted injection of a dangerous substance into her body if she doesn't want it. What a woman allows to be injected into her body is her decision alone, not her husband's. She will answer to God for what is done in her body, not her husband. Now, if a husband decides that he wants to get the COVID-19 vaccine because he thinks it's a good idea or because he fears the consequences of not doing so or whatever reason, that's fine, but he must not coerce his wife into getting it with him to make himself feel better about the decision. The same thing goes for the wives. A wife has no right to manipulate or try to manipulate her husband into getting a vaccine by saying, well, you could lose your job or you this or that or whatever. That's the husband's choice. It's each person, husband and wife, it's their choice to make for themselves. So nobody should be coercing anybody else into getting it. And basically everything I said about governments would apply to everybody, anybody, spouses, schools, employers, anybody. Nobody has the right to force anybody to take something into their body that they don't want to. Okay, so then now that takes us to what I was planning to talk about this morning. And that is, I want to look at some facts to consider about the COVID-19 vaccine. The first fact is that the COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine. Now, this is not my opinion. This is a dictionary definition. It is not a vaccine by dictionary definition. A vaccine is a substance made of the organism, whether virus or bacteria, which causes a disease. I give you the definition out of the Oxford English Dictionary. This was put in there long before the thought controllers had a chance to change it, like they have in these brand new dictionaries, as I'll show you in a minute. Vaccine means vaccination. It is vaccine matter used in vaccination, a preparation of the causative organism or substance of a disease or its products that has been specially treated for use in vaccination. So it is using the organism that causes a disease, and it does something to that organism, whether it weakens it or kills it, but it takes that organism and it injects it into you so your body creates an immune response to it. That's a vaccine by definition. The Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines are not vaccines by definition because they do not contain the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That is, if the SARS-CoV-2 virus even exists. Now you say, well, that's crazy. Well, there have been people that have made the claim that scientists have not yet been able to isolate the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Like actually isolate it out and look at the actual virus itself with nothing else in it. Just look at the actual virus. And there's a link here, and you can check that out for yourself if you want. A group or organization did a Freedom of Information request to the CDC and asked them if they could produce them a study showing that the SARS-CoV-2 virus has been isolated and purified, and they gave a bunch of stipulations of how it was to be isolated and purified, so it was actually isolated and purified. And the CDC wrote back from them, and you can see the letter, and they say, we have no such study. So, you know, take that for whatever you want. I'm not saying there's no COVID-19. I mean, there's obviously people that are relatively few, but there are people that are getting really sick from it, a few, and dying from it, a relative few. It is out there. There's something out there. You know, who knows what it is. But anyway, these vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, use mRNA, that is messenger RNA technology, which instructs your cells to produce the spike protein which is caused by the virus. I'm going to read you a quote here from Johns Hopkins Medicine. I picked the mainstream source just because I didn't want you to think that I'm using some, you know, right-wing alt-right website that's just making stuff up or something. So this is a mainstream source. Everybody knows about Johns Hopkins. The rest of the article that I'm quoting here from is not worth your read, in my opinion. It's a bunch of propaganda. But I just wanted this quote that shows us that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is not in these vaccines. It says, quote, "The two authorized mRNA vaccines instruct your cells to reproduce a protein that is part of the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus, which helps your body recognize and fight the virus if it comes along. The COVID-19 vaccine does not contain the SARS-CoV-2 virus, so you cannot get COVID-19 from the vaccine." So this is Johns Hopkins admitting, telling you, there is no SARS-CoV-2 virus in the vaccine. There's not a dead piece of a virus. There's not an attenuated piece of the virus. There's nothing. There's no trace of that virus in the vaccine at all. It instructs your cells to produce a protein, which the SARS-CoV-2 causes your body to produce whenever it gets infected with it. But it doesn't even inject the protein into you, not the Pfizer and the Moderna. It gives instructions in your cells to create the protein. I think the Johnson & Johnson does put the protein in your body, but the other two do not. Now, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary has changed the definition of vaccine to fool people into thinking the COVID-19 injections are vaccines. And this is for good reason, because there has been a precedent set, and it's not a right precedent, but there's a precedent set that people and organizations can force vaccines on you, and they've been doing it for years. They usually allow for exemptions, religious exemptions and medical exemptions. But for a long time, they've been able to, schools and places like that have been able to force vaccines on you. Well, if they call this thing a vaccine, then they can force it on you like the other vaccines. But it's not a vaccine. But let me read you the definition here. These are two definitions. These are the definitions of vaccine from the 2016 and the 2021 editions of Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And you're going to notice a not so subtle change here. Now, Dictionary 101 tells us, everybody should know, the primary definition doesn't change. The primary definition of a word is the definition of the original definition of the word. It doesn't change. Secondary, tertiary, right, definitions can be added on later as words change. The primary definition of a word should not change. Of course, what does Merriam-Webster care about that, though? Here's the 2016 edition. My wife has the printed copy of it, so they weren't able to change that one yet. It says a vaccine, a preparation of material as of killed or weakened viruses or bacteria used in vaccinating to produce or increase immunity to a disease. Here's vaccine from the 2021 online edition. This is the problem with online dictionaries. They can change them anytime they want. That's the travesty of the Oxford English Dictionary going online only now. You can't buy an Oxford English Dictionary book, the real Oxford English Dictionary. You can't even get it on CD anymore. It's only online, and they can just change it willy-nilly whenever they want now. That's why I boned up and spent the money to get the 20 volume set? Yeah, 20 volumes of Oxford English Dictionary. My dictionary at home is bigger than my Encyclopedia Britannica, and I'm not exaggerating. It is literally bigger than the Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's just a dictionary. Okay, vaccine, 2021 edition of Merriam-Webster's. It is a preparation that is administered as by injection to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious agent or disease, such as A, this is the first one, an antigenic preparation of a typically inactivated or attenuated pathogenic agent, such as a bacterium or virus, or one of its components or products, such as a protein or toxin. B, a preparation of genetic material, such as a strand of synthesized messenger RNA that is used by the cells of the body to produce an antigenic substance, such as a fragment of virus spike protein. They should have just said, it also can mean the COVID-19 shot. You know, they may as well have said that. That's exactly what they're saying. They changed the primary definition of vaccine to say, oh, and also the COVID-19 gene therapy. It's ridiculous. An old guy named Confucius, you've probably heard of him, Chinese philosopher, he said when words lose their meaning, people lose their liberty. And that is true. The word vaccine has lost its meaning, and what's happened to us? We've lost our liberty. Let me give you another example. The word case. It used to be, you know, back in the day, like 2 years ago and prior, when there was a case of an illness, it meant somebody was actually sick. If you talked to a doctor and he said, yeah, we had 10 cases of the flu today, he meant there were 10 people in here that had fevers, that were really sick, that actually had the flu. That's a case. Today, case means a positive PCR test. You could ask a doctor, he says, we had 10 cases of COVID today. You could say, how many of them were sick? Oh, one. That's insane, right? Oh, we had 10 cases, only one was sick. You know, it's madness to call a case a positive test result when you have no symptoms. When words lose their meaning, people lose their freedom. All right, here's fact number two. The COVID-19 vaccine has not been adequately tested. According to Johns Hopkins University, vaccines normally take 5 to 10 years or longer to be developed and FDA approved. Almost every one of these statements I'm making in here, I have website sources to back them up. So if I don't mention the source, go to the outline. Chances are every single thing I say has a source backing it up. And there's a source for that one, of course. The Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines took less than a year to receive an FDA emergency use authorization, EUA, and the Pfizer shot was allegedly fully approved only about 15 months after clinical trials began. That's, of course, breakneck speed for vaccines, or these things aren't even that. I say allegedly fully approved because technically what the FDA did was approved an injection called Comirnaty, made by Pfizer. Comirnaty is the same exact thing as the Pfizer COVID injection. Same exact thing, same ingredients, same. It's legally different, but it's actually the same thing. They approved Comirnaty. If you go and get the vaccine, and you look at the bottle, if the bottle says Comirnaty, that's the FDA approved. If the bottle says Pfizer, BioNTech, COVID-19, blah, 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 that's the emergency use authorization. It's the same exact stuff in the bottle, but one of them is under emergency use, one of them is approved. Here's the problem. You're not going to get a Comirnaty bottle injected into you anytime soon because Pfizer says they do not have, quote, sufficient stocks of Comirnaty, conveniently. But they've got a lot of the emergency use authorization one. So they can still use the old one under the EUA. They can still inject people with it. Comirnaty is the one that's actually approved. Why does this make a difference? Because they can't be sued or found liable for your death or injury with the Comirnaty, with the FDA approved one. Other way around. They can't be held liable for injury with the EUA. They can be held liable for injury with the Comirnaty. Therefore, they want to use all the old EUAs, not the Comirnaty, so they're not going to be found liable until they can lobby the U.S. government to change the rules so they can't be liable for the Comirnaty either. That's what people are speculating, and it's probably the case. Yeah, those guys are, they're sly dogs, I'll give them that. There were, of course, no long-term studies done on the possible adverse effects of the vaccines. There couldn't be. There wasn't enough time to do any long-term studies. The long-term study, and it gets worse. The long-term studies of the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines were sabotaged by the placebo group getting vaccinated. After just a few months of doing the test with the placebo group and the group that actually got the vaccine in the double-blind study, they then offered the vaccine to the placebo group because they didn't want them to get sick with COVID. It wasn't fair. So they gave them the vaccine if they wanted it. So now there's no control group. And I'm not making this up either. You can see an article in NPR and an article from the FDA itself saying that, that the control group, after a few months, was offered the vaccine. Pregnant women were not included in the trials. I get a citation for that. But pregnant women are nevertheless encouraged to get the vaccine because the CDC says it doesn't cause miscarriages. But, quote, this is from the Epic Times, quote, 34 cases of pregnant women experiencing spontaneous miscarriages or stillbirths after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine have been submitted to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. I think it's a lot worse than 34, as I will show you here in just a second. But of course, they're encouraging pregnant women to get an untested vaccine, which is absolute madness. Who in their right mind would do something like that? Unless you're 78 years old or maybe 85 years old and pregnant, why would you get it? They're the only ones that die from this thing anyway. I know people that know, a young woman in her early 30s that had 4 children that got the COVID-19 and died within a few days. It's a tragedy. The fact is that we have no idea what the long-term health consequences will be of the COVID-19 vaccines. And as we know, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says that we ought to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We as Christians ought to be proving things out. We shouldn't be just sheep marching right along with everybody else, just, oh yeah, just stick that thing in my arm, I'm not worried about it. I used to be one such, but then again, I was like anywhere between 0 and 18 years old or 20 or something. So I kind of had an excuse. When you're that age, you're by nature dumb. When you get a little older than that, you don't have an excuse for being dumb anymore, right? You should prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So how can Christians have proved all things and hold fast that which is good for a new vaccine which has not been around long enough to be adequately tested? All right, fact number 3. The COVID-19 vaccine is dangerous and deadly. According to openvaers.com, that's open, V-A-E-R-S.com, as of August 20th, 2021, just a couple of weeks ago, there have been 623,341 adverse event reports for the COVID-19 vaccines made to VAERS. That's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's on the CDC. That's the thing the CDC manages. That includes 13,627 deaths, 55,821 hospitalizations. This is not from COVID. This is from the vaccine, okay? 74,368 urgent care visits, 100,966 office visits, 5,721 reports of anaphylaxis, 4,785 reports of Bell's palsy, 1,671 miscarriages, 6,071 heart attacks, 5,093 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis, that's heart inflammation, 17,794 permanently disabled, 2,831, can't pronounce this one very well, thrombocytopenia, I'm sure I butchered that, which that's low platelet count, 14,105 life-threatening injuries, 25,921 severe allergic reactions, and 7,324 reports of shingles. That's a lot of damage done by these vaccines, is it not? That's only what was reported. The VAERS system is just people self-reporting, and it goes largely unreported, as I will show you here in just a second. But it actually gets worse than this. An insider whistleblower has sworn under penalty of perjury that she's seen VAERS information which shows that there have been at least 45,000 deaths from the COVID-19 vaccines. That's just here in America, by the way. Here's a quote. This is from Rights and Freedoms website. Quote, Thomas Wren, an attorney based in Ohio, has started a lawsuit against the federal government for covering up the true number of deaths from the COVID-19 vaccines. According to Wren's, a whistleblower referred to as Jane Doe, who is an insider and has seen information on the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, allegedly passed on the numbers and relevant information to him. At an event hosted by Awaken America, Wren said, quote, we have someone that has sworn under penalty of perjury that there have been at least 45,000 deaths. Now, is she telling the truth or not? I don't know. The lawsuit maybe will bear that out. It would not be surprising, though, if this is true, because vaccine injuries are known to be grossly underreported to the VAERS system. Here's a quote from Tucker Carlson on Fox News. He said, quote, a report submitted to the Department of Health and Human Services in 2010 concluded that, quote, fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported, unquote, by the VAERS system. Fewer than 1%, that study found. So you can take the numbers that I just gave you and multiply them by 100, okay? I've heard anywhere from 1 to 10%. So multiply that number by 10 to 100. That 13,000 deaths all of a sudden becomes 130,000 deaths or 1,300,000 and some deaths. The vaccine program for the 1976 swine flu. Anybody remember the 76 swine flu? That was a long time ago. Yeah. So it was, it was going around. The government was concerned about it. They had to do something. The government's always got to do something. So they came out with this fast-track vaccine, injected a whole ton of people. And it ended up killing less than 100. I read anywhere in the 50s from the 30s. I don't think there's an exact figure. But it ended up killing a tiny fraction of the amount of people that COVID-19 vaccines have. And they halted it. You read about it in the New York Times. I got the citation there for you. So back then, less than 100 people died. They halted the whole thing. Here, 13,000, 130,000. Who knows how many people have died from it, 45,000. And they're just plowing right ahead. It maybe makes you wonder if public health is not at issue here. Maybe there's something else going on here besides the government's concern for your health. The COVID-19 vaccines are more deadly than all other vaccines combined. Here again is Tucker Carlson on Fox News. He says, quote, in just the first 4 months of this year, the U.S. government has recorded more deaths after COVID vaccinations than from all other vaccines administered in the United States between mid-1997 and the end of 2013. That's a period of 15 and a half years. Again, more people, according to VAERS, have died after getting the shot in 4 months during a single vaccination campaign than from all other vaccines combined over more than a decade and a half, end quote. Now, that was back in May that he said that, and he was referring to data from April, from January to April. Now, it's more adverse events and more deaths than all the vaccines for all the time VAERS has been recording the information. So every vaccine that's ever been out there, as long as VAERS has been around, which I think has been 30 or so years, COVID-19 has killed more people than all of them combined for 30 years. So before you take the vaccine, I strongly recommend that you prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Fact number 4 about COVID-19 vaccine, and that is that it is not effective. It'd be one thing if it was 100% effective and you are guaranteed to never get COVID-19 or give it to anybody else for the rest of your life. You say, well, I'll take my chances with, you know, getting killed. That'd be one thing. There have been huge outbreaks of COVID-19 in highly vaccinated populations. Here's a quote from NPR, National Public Radio. This is a left-wing organization. I'm going to give you two quotes here about two different outbreaks, and they're both from far-left organizations because I didn't want to give you one from Fox News, and you'll think, oh, they're just making it up. If NPR is telling you there are big COVID outbreaks among vaccinated people, it's probably worse than they're telling you, because they certainly wouldn't want to admit that. Here's from NPR, quote, Israel was the first country on earth to fully vaccinate a majority of its citizens against COVID-19. Now it has one of the world's highest daily infection rates, an average of nearly 7,500 confirmed cases a day, double what it was 2 weeks ago. Nearly one in every 150 in Israel today have the virus. That's from NPR. Their article called Highly Vaccinated Israel is Seeing a Dramatic Surge in New COVID Cases. Here's why. Now, here's why. Maybe the vaccine doesn't work, and maybe it spreads the virus. There's an idea. Here's one from CNBC. Quote, about three-fourths of people infected in a Massachusetts COVID-19 outbreak were fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, with four of them ending up in the hospital, according to new data published Friday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That was July 30th this year. The NPR one was August 20th. So that thing happened in Israel is really fresh. So I asked the question, why would anyone get an untested, dangerous, and deadly vaccine which does not prevent COVID-19 infection? That's a question that I wonder. All right, now let's look at the question everybody's been waiting for. Is the COVID-19 vaccine and the associated COVID passport, or the associated vaccine passport, the mark of the beast? So the COVID-19 vaccine and the associated vaccine passport appears at the least to be a big stepping stone on the road to the mark of the beast. And I'm going to make my case for this, and I would think you'd see it. I don't know. Now, we do not yet know for certain what the mark of the beast is, because prophecy is usually not understood until after it's fulfilled. But if you think, and then you're going to say, okay, well, why are you warning me about a prophecy that may be being fulfilled when you don't know for sure, when you won't know until after it's fulfilled? Well, if the mark of the beast comes at the end of time, and it appears that it does, do you want me to warn you about the mark of the beast when we're all on the new earth in the new heavens someday, after it's all said and done and I can look back and see the fulfillment of it? If I'm going to warn you about the mark of the beast, it's going to have to be before it happens, obviously, right? So I'm doing my best here. As the shepherd and overseer of this church, who is as a watchman on the wall, I am convicted that I must warn you of danger that I see coming. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. I am concerned of physical danger for the reasons I just gave you about how dangerous these vaccines are, but I'm concerned of spiritual danger as well, and I need to warn you of both. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm an overseer. I watch for your souls. And I would not be able to sleep at night if I didn't tell you. I've got to tell you. Not everybody agrees with me on this. Some people, you know, it's their idea. Just leave it alone. See what happens. That's not my conviction. I've got to tell you about it. Look at Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. It says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. This church is the house of Israel. The Gentiles have been brought into the commonwealth of Israel, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2. I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I have a similar job as the old prophets in Israel did. They were to warn the people. They were to give the people the word of God. Now, I'm not coming up with prophecies, and I'm not telling you new stuff. They were telling you new stuff, and they wrote it down. I'm telling you old stuff that's already been written. But I'm a watchman, like they were. I'm standing on the wall, and I'm watching, and I see bad things coming on the horizon. And I don't believe that I need to be able to see the whites of the eyes of the enemy and the name tags on their uniforms clearly before I can say, hey, something bad's happening. I see something really bad coming on the horizon, and I don't need to wait until they're right up on top of us, and I can say, oh, yeah, that says whatever. Oh, yeah, that's the bad guys. I'm warning you now. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. If you got the vaccine, I don't think any of you have in this church, but if anybody hearing this has got the vaccine for health reasons and not to be able to buy and sell, not because they're afraid of the beast, then I wouldn't worry about it, because that was not done in an act of worship. That was done because you thought it was a good health thing to do. You took medicine that you thought was going to be protective of your health. Okay, so I don't believe that that would be the mark of the beast, because there was no worship associated with that. But on the other hand, if you're thinking about getting the vaccine and the vaccine passport, especially to buy and sell out of fear, right? That's another story. That's you're getting it for a whole nother reason. Pardon my bad English, whole nother. You're getting that for a different reason. And that's what I'm warning about, because that's what looks a lot like the mark of the beast. Now, it's possible that the mark of the beast is not a physical mark, but rather a figurative mark. And that is because the book of Revelation is given in signs and symbols. In Revelation chapter 1, I'm just going to fly through this stuff because I've already preached it before. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. To signify means to be a sign or symbol of, to represent, betoken, mean. So the book of Revelation is given in signs and symbols. So since much of Revelation is written in symbolic and metaphorical language, it's certainly possible that the mark of the beast is described in such language as well. So it's possible it is a more of a symbolic mark, not a physical mark. Possible, I don't know, but it's possible. Now, in 2018, I did a sermon series called Satan and His War with God's People. It was a long one, if you'll remember, and in part 32 of that series, on page 127 and 128 of the outline, I gave my best guess at that time as to what the mark of the beast might be. Now, I'm just going to read you what I did then. I'm not going to quote the verses or anything in the interest of time. I'll just show you what I said then. Seven is the number of completeness. God rested on the seventh day when he finished his work, Genesis 2, 1 through 2. Six is the number of incompleteness and imperfection of man's works. It is the number of a man, Revelation 13:18. It is, that is, six is repeated three times to signify that man has been a total failure. Thus, the number of the beast represents man's works. The reprobate trust in their works for salvation, Matthew 7:22-23. Works-based religion could therefore be the mark of the beast. All those who are judged according to their works have the mark and will all go to hell, Revelation 14:9-11, Revelation 20:11-15. The beast religion could likely be humanism. This is what I was saying back then. Those who don't conform to the religion of humanism with its atheistic, feminist, sodomitical, and egalitarian doctrines, who will not worship the government system, the beast, that promotes and enforces them, and therefore do not have the mark, will be cut off from commerce and killed. Revelation 13:15-17. Those who refuse to go along with the system will stick out like a sore thumb or a big stamp on one's forehead, and everyone will be able to see that they don't have the mark. This is already happening. This is what I said in 2018. It was already happening then. People have lost their jobs and had their careers ruined for speaking out against it. I was cut off from using Airbnb because I would not sign their wicked policy regarding sodomites and transgenders. There could very well come a time when most corporations, banks, payment companies like PayPal, etc., will enact policies which will make people consent to the humanistic beast system or be cut off from commerce and not be able to buy and sell. That's what I said back then. I don't know if I was right in 2018, nor do I know for certain if the COVID-19 vaccine or its associated vaccine passport is the mark of the beast or a precursor to it. But Christians should give serious due consideration to the possibility before they take the vaccine. That's the purpose of this sermon. I can't know for sure if this is the mark of the beast or if it's a precursor to it or if it's right around the corner. I don't know for sure. But what I want to do is give you the information, give you what the Bible says, and give you what I see happening and see if that matches up so that you can make an informed decision about it, so that you'll be able to seriously consider before you take that thing. So let's consider what the Bible says about the mark of the beast and ponder if the COVID-19 vaccine, along with the associated vaccine passport, could be it or could be at least an integral part of it. The vaccine and the passport go so hand in hand, especially now. The purpose, most people, if they get the vaccine now, it's because they want to get the passport. They want to be able to go to work. They want to be able to buy and sell. They want to be able to do things. So the vaccine and the passport are pretty much the same thing at this point. It might not have been so originally, but by now, pretty much everybody who has wanted to get it has already gotten it. And the FDA approval, I don't think, is going to make one bit of difference for most people that haven't gotten it already. They don't buy the whole thing anyway. So let's look. Let's look at what the characteristics of the mark of the beast are. Number one, it's received into the right hand or in the forehead. Revelation 13 and verse 16. I realize this sermon's been a lot short on scripture. Next sermon, there'll be more scripture in. Revelation 13 and verse 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Now, receiving a physical mark in the right hand or the forehead is not part of receiving the COVID-19 vaccine yet. Not yet. It could be, but right now it's not. But, you know, there's technology out there that could do that. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the premier universities in the country and in the world, MIT has developed technology to inject a vaccine into a person and at the same time inject invisible quantum dot dye under the skin that can be read with a specially equipped smartphone. You can read about that right on MIT's website. I have a link there for you. You also have things called RFID chips. Radio frequency identification is what that stands for. There are already RFID chips and all kinds of stuff. If you got a passport in the last, I think since like 2007 or something, I forget. Anyway, if you got a passport in the last few years, it has an RFID chip in it. Stores your personal information. A lot of credit cards, when they have that little symbol on there, it's got an RFID chip in it. You can just stick it up. You can stick it close to a reader and it'll do it. Your phones, if you're crazy enough to pay with your phone, Apple Pay and all that, RFID. You get your phone close to the thing, deducts money out of your account. RFID chips, which store personal information, are already on the market being used by some employers, which can be embedded in one's hand under the skin. There are actually companies out there that are already doing this in this country and in other parts of the world. People are literally getting chipped in their hand to be able to conduct commerce. And this has been happening for a while. The article here that I have is from 2017. This article is from the World Economic Forum, a.k.a. the Synagogue of Satan. The World Economic Forum is headed by a man named Klaus Schwab. He's the Great Reset guy. He's the guy that said by 2030 you will own nothing and you'll be happy. Really nice guy. These are the kind of guys that want to bring the human population down by a few billion. I just wish they'd lead by example. Here's the quote. Quote, "The Riverfall, Wisconsin-based company, hosted a chip party inviting its employees to voluntarily have their hands injected with an RFID chip the size of a grain of rice." They must have offered it to the dumb ones to get them to do it. The chip uses electromagnetic fields to identify electronically stored information. It is a form of near-field communications, NFC, which is the same as the technology used in contactless credit cards and mobile payments. A chip is implanted underneath the skin between the thumb and forefinger within seconds. So right here, between the thumb and forefinger. That was an article by John McKenna from the World Economic Forum. I got a link to that there. You can read it. The article continues, and now he's quoting the owner of the company, a guy named Westby. Quote, "We foresee the use of RFID technology to drive everything from making purchases in our office break room market, opening doors, use of copy machines, logging into our office computers, unlocking phones, sharing business cards, get this, storing medical / health information, and used as a payment at other RFID terminals," said Westby. Quote, "Eventually, this technology will become standardized, allowing you to use it as your passport, public transit, all purchasing opportunities, etc." What do you know? The RFID chip that they can put in your hand can store your health information, your medical information, your passport, your financial stuff. That's the Orwellian world that we're walking into, where drones are going to be walking around scanning their hands to pay for things. The so-called vaccine passports or health passports have been talked about for the last year and a half and are now being implemented. I told you last time about what Bill Gates said way back at the very beginning of this thing, in spring of 2020. He said everybody's going to have to get vaccinated, the whole world, and we're going to have some digital proof of vaccination. He knew what he was talking about. He's probably one of the architects of it. There have been a number of apps developed to store one's vaccine passport in an app on his smartphone. You can see that article on The Insider, and they'll tell you about all the vaccine passport apps that are out there. They are already being used in different places around the world, such as New York City and California. New York City, you've got to use your vaccine passport to get into restaurants, to get into bars, to get into gyms, to get into stuff. I'll read you a quote about that in a minute. California is doing the same thing. They have a vaccine passport, and they have legislation right now trying to get it so that it would be necessary to do much of anything. Unfortunately, Ontario, Canada, I just read yesterday, just said on September 22nd, starting September 22nd, Ontario citizens will have to have a vaccine passport to go to restaurants, to go to gyms, and all this stuff, to go to public places. It's coming all over the place. Now, this could be the mark in the right hand. Let me ask you a question. If you have to use your smartphone to show proof of vaccination to buy or sell, and this is already happening, ask yourself, where is your smartphone located when you do so? Where is your smartphone when you present it to get into a restaurant or a gym or a grocery store or whatever? In your hand. The mark is in your hand. You see it? It doesn't have to be under the skin to be in your hand. You walk up with the mark in your hand and scan it. You see? I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but I'm saying it fits the description, doesn't it? Your smartphone is not on your hand, but in your hand. Now, I can't prove if this is the mark of the beast, but it does fit the description of a mark, like a QR code. You know what a QR code is, that square thing, right? They're all over the place now. You go to a restaurant, some of them don't even give you menus anymore. You pull out your phone, you take a picture of the QR code, and it pulls up a website. The QR code, have you ever used one when you fly? Probably not, but when you fly, you can put your boarding pass on your phone, and it shows up as a QR code. You scan it when you get to the terminal. The QR code, that's a mark, right? It's a mark in your hand. It's on the device in your hand. That could be the one that's required to buy and sell. That's why I say it could be the mark of the beast. It's literally a mark in your hand required to buy and sell. You say, well, that seems a little far-fetched to me. Let me say it again. It's a mark in your hand required to buy and sell. Think about it. I can't prove it, but, just think about it. Says there in Revelation 13:17, "And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." So I ask, why would a Christian want to take a risk of receiving the mark of the beast by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and then carrying around proof of it in his hand to buy or sell? Just think about it. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you the information. The vaccine passports could easily be put in RFID chips that would be inserted in the hand, which would be required to order, in order to work and conduct financial transactions. The RFID chip could easily replace a smartphone. I mean, the technology is already there. They're already using it for that very thing, basically. This would be a more obvious and clear fulfillment of the mark of the beast. The smartphone vaccine passport app could just be a stepping stone towards it. That's one of the reasons I'm glad I got rid of my smartphone. I jumped off the technological bandwagon, and I do not intend to get back on. My 20-year-old flip phone that I use only for a home phone is it. And honestly, I feel like getting rid of that thing, too, and going to a home phone, it would probably work better, except the flip phone's free, so I'll keep it for a while anyway. The next thing about the mark of the beast is it is necessary to buy or sell. Revelation 13 and verse 17. I just read you that verse there, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This is already happening with the COVID-19 vaccine. New York City has mandated that only people with proof of COVID-19 vaccine be allowed to go to restaurants, bars, gyms, and theaters. Here's a quote. This is from Fox 5, New York. This is a local Fox News channel in New York City. This is from August 4th, 2021. Quote, New York City will require proof of vaccination for people who want to dine indoors and take part in other activities like gyms and theaters, and for those who work there. It is the city's most aggressive step yet in tackling the highly contagious Delta variant. Quote, this is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. Mayor Bill de Blasio said, quote, if you're vaccinated, all that's gonna open up to you. If you have the key, you can open the door. If you're not vaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate in many things, unquote. Isn't that nice of that guy, huh? Literally gonna cut people off from commerce, from having jobs, from being able to go anywhere if they don't have the vaccine. And it's likely only a matter of time until other cities follow suit. Usually what happens on the two coasts ends up spreading into the rest of the country. That's normally what happens. States and countries are requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination to participate in the economy. Like I mentioned earlier, California currently has a proposed bill that would require anyone entering a bar, restaurant, gym, hotel, event center, or sports arena to show proof of vaccination. I've got the citation for that there in the outline. France has mandated COVID health pass to, quote, enter restaurants, planes, trains, and other public venues. Italy, likewise, has instituted a green pass, which is, quote, needed for indoor dining, gyms, and theaters, as well as to attend big events such as conferences and sports games. And let me tell you what, if there's one thing that would get a lot of Americans to receive the mark of the beast, it would be denying them access to sports games. Let me tell you what, they would line up and give me that mark. I want to go to my sports games. In France, there are reports of armed guards at grocery stores preventing, quote, unvaccinated, unquote, people from entering. You can see that on Natural News. I've got the citation there. You can see the video of that. I don't speak French, but you can see a bunch of people that are really ticked off in front of a bunch of security guards, which presumably is in front of a grocery store. So you can take a look at that for yourself. Employers, including many companies, hospitals, the military, and many others have already required proof of COVID-19 vaccination in order to work for them, which is making it increasingly more difficult for people without the mark, quote unquote, to buy or sell. Also, there is open discussion about denying Medicare and health insurance to the unvaccinated. And in some cases, it's already being denied to institutions. Here's a quote from Newsweek. Quote, President Joe Biden announced Wednesday that nursing homes must require all staff to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in order to receive funding through Medicare and Medicaid programs. There are calls being made by the media for private insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid to penalize the unvaccinated by making them pay for COVID-19 medical bills out of pocket. You can see those articles there on ABC News and econlib.org. I've got them cited as well. There is also open discussion about conditioning federal benefits on vaccination, including Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, VA benefits, and others. Here's a quote from a lady named Pam Keith. Pam Keith is an attorney in Florida. She has 142,200 followers on Twitter. Okay? She's a popular lady, obviously has a lot of influence. Okay? She's not a legislature, she can't make laws, but this is how it starts. It starts with popular and influential people clamoring for things, and I read some of the comments below there, and they're like, yeah, that's right, get them. You know, like, people are all for this, right? Here's what she said. This was on July 30th, 2021. Here's a good way to move people into getting vaccinated. Condition all federal benefits on proof of vaccination. That includes Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, military pensions, VA benefits, Fed-subsidized housing, all of it. I bet that will move things along, Pam Keith said. And I think this is going to be the growing sentiment moving forward, unfortunately. If you think about it, just put yourself in the shoes of a wicked person and just think, if I wanted to force everybody to get a COVID vaccine, or if I wanted to force anybody to do anything, how would I do it? Other than kicking down their door and, you know, using the military or something like that. But if I wanted to compel them, to make them do it willingly, how would I do it? Well, I don't know. How about take their Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid away? How about taking all the government benefits away? Boy, that'd bring them to their knees in a heartbeat, wouldn't it? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to think of these things. That's what people are coming up with. In an interview, Bill Gates smiled and nodded when asked if the unvaccinated should lose their Social Security benefits. I've got a link to the video there. And as they ask him that, he gets this big, you-know-what-eating grin on his face and nods his head. Like, yeah, that'll work. Just remember, with the shekels come the shackles. When you take government benefits, they control you. That's the problem with government benefits. You are controlled when you take them. The next thing about the mark of the beast is it's associated with the name of the beast and the number of his name. Verse 17, we already read. In verse 18, it's also the number of a man, which is 666. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, you're probably just itching for me to say, oh, how is the COVID vaccine 666? I really want to know. I wish I knew too. I don't know. I didn't do a ton of research on it. I'm sure people make cases for it, but I've heard, you know, a lot of crazy cases for 666, and so I'm not going to speculate on that stuff unless there's something really obvious. It remains to be seen how the name of the beast and his number, 666, will be connected to the mark of the beast. Remember, many times prophecy cannot be fully understood until after it has come to pass. The next thing about the mark of the beast is that it is always associated with worshiping the beast. Let me give you a string of verses here. You're going to notice when you read about the mark of the beast, it's always mentioned in connection with worshiping the beast. Revelation 14 and verse 9. It says, and the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. We'll get to that verse later. So you see there that the mark of the beast and the worship of the beast are connected. Look at verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Worship the beast, receive the mark. Those two are always tied together. I'll give you a few more. Revelation 16 and verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Had the mark, worshipped his image. Revelation 19 and verse 20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And Revelation 20 and verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the mark and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there you have a bunch of verses which tie together the worship of the beast with the mark of the beast. Now, some people are confident that the COVID-19 vaccines and the vaccine passports are not the mark of the beast and couldn't be the mark of the beast because there is no worship of the beast associated with it. But is that true? Is that true that there is no worship of the beast today associated with taking those things? Well, first, let's see, what is the beast to see if men are worshiping him, possibly, or it? Revelation 13 and verse 4 shows us that the beast is a world empire. Revelation 13 and verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? A powerful world empire that nobody can resist. And they're worshiping that empire. It has a powerful military, like we just saw. Who can make war with the beast? It has power to persecute the saints. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. A world empire. All kindreds, tongues, and nations, in other words. And he has power to persecute the saints. And he has power over all nations, as we just saw. All of these things are true of the U.S. empire and the U.N., which it controls. Every one of these things. The U.S. is a world empire. We have power over all nations. We have power to persecute the saints. You say, well, when have they done that? Last year. Remember when they shut down the churches? Remember that? They had power to persecute the saints. And they're just getting started. And furthermore, all the governments of the world are all doing the same thing. At the behest of probably the dragon controlling the beast. They're all doing it. So the question is, are people worshiping the beast today? Let's look at what worship is. Worship, the noun, is respect or honor shown to a person or thing. To do one worship, to show honor, pay respect or homage to. Reverence or veneration paid to a being or power regarded as supernatural or divine. The action or practice of displaying this by appropriate acts, rites, or ceremonies. Worship, the verb, is to honor or revere as a supernatural being or power, or as a holy thing, to regard or approach with veneration, to adore with appropriate acts, rites, or ceremonies. I'll show you how people do that today. To regard with extreme respect or devotion, to adore. So do people worship the government, which is trying to force the COVID-19 vaccines into the bodies of all its subjects and force them to carry proof of vaccination in their hand? Do people worship this beast that is forcing this upon them? Well, I want you to consider some things. Number one, U.S. presidents are viewed as celebrities by most of the population. It's usually half for 4 years and the other half for the other 4 years, but they're all considered as superstars. Americans just love the president. The media fawns over all the presidents. The liberal media and millions of Americans adore President Biden, who is trying to force us to get vaccinated. The conservative media and millions of Americans adore and even idolize, Donald Trump, who ordered the swift creation of the COVID-19 vaccine via Operation Warp Speed, and who encouraged and still does encourage his supporters to get the vaccine after he left office. And I've got citations to prove all those things. Donald Trump just recently in Coleman, Alabama. I don't know if I mentioned this last Sunday or not. Coleman, Alabama had a rally. And he was encouraging his supporters to get the vaccine, and they booed him for it. He's still out there peddling the vaccine. What kills me is that most of these anti-vaxxers are Trump supporters. It's like, guys, your dude is the one that gave you the vaccine and wants you to get it. What the heck is wrong with you? Kills me. The Trump presidency should leave no doubt in anyone's mind how it could be possible that many professing Christians will wander after the beast with the rest of the world. I used to wonder, how are they going to manage to get Christians to wander after the beast? Why would they wander after a wicked man or a wicked system? Well, I saw the Trump presidency, and now I don't have to wonder. Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Here's another act of worship that a lot of Americans do. Many Americans worship the military. Now, before you try to tar and feather me, I want you to know I'm a veteran. I spent 8 years in the Army. I spent a year in a combat zone. I'm not a pinko commie, right? I'm not against the military, necessarily. I'm against a lot of what they do. I'm certainly against the top military brass, which are a bunch of social justice warriors and woke retards. But the fact is that many Americans worship the military. Most Americans believe and proclaim that there is no country in the world that can stand up to the U.S. military. You know what they're basically saying? Who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? That is the sentiment in the hearts of most Americans. Who can make war with the U.S. military? Two words for you. Russia, China. Don't be so cocky and confident. They could take us out in a heartbeat, I think. I'm sure you've all seen the blasphemous saying on shirts, signs, etc., which says, quote, only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, the other died for your freedom. How many have seen that? How many have read that? I have. Absolute blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy. Comparing an American soldier with Jesus Christ makes me sick. Absolutely sick. And furthermore, whoever wrote that's an idiot, because Jesus Christ didn't offer to die for anybody. He died for those the Father gave him. He didn't offer to die for anybody. And furthermore, sad to say, American soldiers have not died for our freedom. They have died for our slavery. Now, they don't know that, but they have died for our slavery. They have been part of enslaving this nation through debt. That's what they've done. That's what we did. That's what I did. I went over there and contributed to running this nation trillions of dollars into debt for a worthless war that accomplished nothing but the mass murder of about 1 million people. Yeah, don't thank me for your freedom as a soldier. I'll tell you, a former soldier. Let me tell you that. I did not help for your freedom one bit. I helped to enslave you before I knew what the heck I was doing. We've all seen bumper stickers which say, quote, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read this in English, thank a veteran. How many have seen that one? Oh, I've seen it many times. Yeah, as if we're all going to be speaking Arabic if the soldiers like Chad didn't go over there and mop up those ragheads over there. We'd all be speaking Arabic, wouldn't we? Oh, yeah, right. Soldiers get to board planes first. They get applauded on flights. They constantly hear, thank you for your service. Please don't ever say that to me. I get so sick and tired of hearing that. And they get all kinds of free things on Veterans Day and at other times. It's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be really bad. Back in the first decade of this century, back when I was in the military, it was awful. Soldier would come on the plane, everybody'd clap. May as well start bowing down, kissing his feet. I mean, it was ridiculous. There were support our troops signs everywhere for years during the evil and worthless war on terror. You remember the signs, the little yellow things. This nation worships the military, which is part of the beast. Most people are scared of being called unpatriotic for not supporting their government. After all, it would be sacrilegious to criticize the beast. There's a lot of people out there, they really believe that. You shouldn't criticize the government. That's just wrong. Well, yeah, because they love the beast, right? Can't bear being criticized. Here's one for you. Before sporting events, school board meetings, chamber of commerce meetings, and a whole bunch of other places, as well as at the beginning of every school day, Americans participate in the religious rite of pledging allegiance to the flag and to the republic. In other words, the government. Now, I've never done this before. Let me define the words for you. Let me define pledge and allegiance, and I think you'll see why I personally do not pledge allegiance to the government. Pledge means to become surety for, make oneself responsible for a person, thing, or statement. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to make yourself responsible for what the U.S. government does? Not me. When you say, I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, you know what you're saying? I am pledging to make myself responsible for what my government does. No thanks. You know what allegiance is? This is really interesting. I didn't know this. Allegiance is the relation of a liege lord, lordship. It is the relation or duties of a liege man to his liege lord. The tie or obligation of a subject to his sovereign or government. Figuratively, the recognition of the claims which anything has to our respect and duty. So, the allegiance is the relation or duties of a liegeman to his liege lord. What is a liege? A liege is the characteristic epithet of persons in the relation of feudal, superior, and vassal. Vassal is the guy that works the land, right? The feudal lord is the one that owns the land. The vassal is the guy that he gets a little bit of it, and he's basically the master's slave. Of the superior entitled to feudal allegiance and service. So, let's put it together. By pledging allegiance to the flag and to the republic, Americans are promising to be slaves of the government. Now, when you put it that way, you might want to consider that the next time you put your hand on your heart and say, I pledge to be a slave to the United States government. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 10? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know what it means to serve? It means to be a servant to, render service to be a servant, to perform the duties of a servant, to be a slave or bondman, to be in bondage, to labor as a bondman. Thou shalt be a servant and a bondman and a slave to God alone, not to the U.S. government. So think about this the next time you pledge allegiance to the government, to the beast, in other words. Most Americans render reverential and fearful obedience to the CDC and the government when they order them to do tyrannical things like shutting down churches and businesses, wearing a face mask, staying away from other people, and getting a vaccine. They say it, most people just do it. Whatever they say, you want me to shut down my business and ruin my life? Okay. You want me to shut down my church and quit worshiping God? Okay. As long as you want. Oh, 6 months, a year? Oh, I'll do it. No problem. That's all right. Oh, you want me to wear a mask, cover up my face? Oh, sure. I'll do that. You want me to inject myself with a deadly vaccine? If you say so, yes, sir. Many, and in a lot of cases, most, Americans rely on the beast to take care of them from cradle to grave, including feeding them. You know how many millions of Americans are on food stamps? Tens of millions of Americans rely on the beast to feed them. Housing them, like government-subsidized housing and loans. How many people have government-subsidized housing and loans? A lot. I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a lot. Raising, babysitting, feeding, and educating their children. In other words, public schools. How many people rely on the government to take care of their children from about age 3 now, because now there's going to be universal pre-K. From age 3 to 18, there's your babysitter, there's your educator, there's the one that's going to feed your kids, there's the one that's going to teach them everything they need to know. I'm going to raise them for you, in other words. Providing, most people, a lot of people rely on the beast to provide their health care. Obamacare. I just never wanted Obamacare. My mom was trying to convince me, get it, it'll probably be cheaper. I said, you know what, even if it is cheaper, I don't want it. I don't want them giving me anything. No thanks. Obamacare, Medicaid, Medicare. Most Americans look to the government to save them from pandemics and infectious diseases like COVID-19. Providing for their retirement, like Social Security. Taking care of them when disaster strikes. FEMA. What happens when there is a hurricane? What do people do? What is the first thing that people do when there's a hurricane or a tornado or any natural disaster? Call the government. Rely on the beast. You know, when the Chicago fire happened, if I'm not mistaken, and I think that was in the, wasn't the late 1800s, I think, somewhere early 1900s, when that Chicago fire happened, it burned down like most of Chicago. There was no FEMA. There was no government came in to, I don't think, to do it. People just got to work and they rebuilt it. And I'm sure charitable causes helped. That's what people used to do. When something happens, you don't go to the government. You work. You help out your neighbor. That's what people used to do. Now they rely on the beast. And providing them money when they lose their jobs. Unemployment benefits. I'm sad to say I took unemployment one time. I regret it. I wish I wouldn't have. I didn't need to. I had the money saved. I wasn't even going to take it. And I told my dad that I just got laid off. He mentioned unemployment. I said, I don't know if I want to take it. I just don't know. He's like, oh, you paid into that. That's always the excuse. You paid into it, right? You paid the unemployment insurance. I guess the employer did or something. I don't know. But you paid into it. You should get it. And I listened to him and I took it for a month or a month and a half until I got another job. I wish I wouldn't have. Why should the government pay me not to work? That's ridiculous. That's what savings is for. Or if it gets bad, family or churches or other people to help you out if you need it. People should be providing all these needs themselves. They should be trusting in God to provide these needs, but instead they look to the beast and trust it to provide them. Just think about it. What does the average American do when he loses his job, when he can't pay his rent or his mortgage, when he can't afford food, when he needs medical insurance, when he needs help caring for or educating his children, when he gets old and needs taken care of, when natural disaster destroys his property or a virus is spreading in his nation? What does he do? He looks to the beast and starts filling out government forms instead of looking to God to take care of them and getting to work. That's what he does. He looks to the beast. Why do most Americans rely on? Who do most Americans rely on? Who do they trust? Who do they look to when they need help? The government. Not to God. The government. Now, I have a question. Is this an act of worshiping the beast instead of God? Don't answer the question. Don't even answer it in your own head. Think about it. Think about it for a while before you answer that question too quickly. Is this an act of worshiping the beast? And I'll leave you with this. This is a quote. I found this quote. Somebody told me about it after I'd already put those thoughts together. So I didn't get these ideas from him. But he came up with some other stuff that I didn't think about. This is from a guy named Patrick Stevens. It's an article called Top 10 Things Americans Worship and Shouldn't. The second thing that Americans worship is the government. And here's what he said. Quote, what is the biggest, most powerful God in America? It is the state. No question about it. The state is immensely powerful. It possesses a fiercely devoted following, millions upon millions. A hymnody, or hymns, in other words, like God Bless America, Star Spangled Banner, Battle Hymn of the Republic, etc. It has a canonized sainthood, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Lincoln, Roosevelt, etc. It has Scripture, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And I will add that the government follows its Scripture about as good as most Christians follow theirs. It has its own icons and symbols, like the American flag, the Liberty Bell, the Eagle, etc. It has temples, Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, the Pentagon. You know what the Lincoln Memorial looks like? It looks like a Greek temple with all the pillars, right? It is modeled after a Greek temple. You know what the Washington Monument is? It's a phallic symbol, just like the ancient Egyptians had. It requires mandatory tithing and indulgences, as much as one-third of your income and fines and things like that. And it has oaths, the Pledge of Allegiance, military officer oath, politician's oath, etc., and more. Who do people often petition rather than God when they have big problems? Who do people run to for protection? Who do people expect to provide for their needs, give them good health, educate their kids, and create jobs for them? The state. That's who most people look to. And Don added this one. The U.S. government also has high priests in black robes. They're called Supreme Court judges. And people pretty much worship Supreme Court judges like they were the oracle of God sent down from on high. Well, the Supreme Court said it. I guess there's nothing we can do. How about states' rights? How about nullification? How about telling the Supreme Court to go pound sand when they are telling states what they're going to do? And they have no constitutional right to. All right, next time we're going to look at how worshiping the beast may include more than just simply bowing down to it. Because a lot of people, when they think of worship, they just think of, you know, bowing down and that kind of thing. But I'm going to show you from Scripture that worshiping something can be a lot more than just bowing down to it. And we're going to continue to analyze this idea of whether or not people could be worshiping the beast today, and whether the COVID vaccines and the vaccine passport specifically could be the mark of the beast. I thank you for your kind and patient attention.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.